Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. Turn in your Bibles to Mark. If you have your Bible with you, if you've got your iPhone, just turn there with me. Mark chapter 10, and we'll stand in just a moment as we read the Word of God together again. The Lord kind of laid this on my heart a couple of weeks ago about preaching a sermon series on last things. And so over the next 10 weeks, other than next Sunday, Teen Challenge is going to be here with us next Sunday morning. I can't wait. Y'all are going to be blessed. But over the next 10 weeks, we're going to be moving towards Easter, and we're going to be looking at the last things, those events in the ministry, the last week of the Lord's life before His crucifixion. And so we're going to be in Mark's Gospel. We're going to be moving that way, and then, of course, things will come to a crescendo on Easter morning when Jesus rose from the dead. So we're going to be in a sermon series for 10 weeks called Last Things. And I wanted to kind of kick that off this morning with Mark chapter 10, verses 32 through 45. So if you have found that, would you please stand to your feet as we honor the reading of God's Word? God's Word is so awesome. I said God's Word is so awesome. Man, it is really something else. Verse 32, Mark 10. Now, they were on the road going up to Jerusalem. Now, y'all have heard of the Jericho Mile? That's 17 miles straight uphill. Almost around, anyways. That's a tough road. And so, Jesus and His disciples are on the other side, the far side of Jericho. They're coming through Jericho and then up. They're on their way to Jerusalem. And Jesus was going before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. Amazed and afraid. Then He took the 12 aside again and began to tell them the things that would happen to Him. Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn Him to death and deliver Him to the Gentiles. And they will mock Him, scourge Him, and spit on Him, and kill Him. And the third day, He will rise again. Tad Ketch, ask God to bless the Word this morning. Would you, brother?
Heavenly Father, we come to You thanking You for the beautiful day that You've given us, dear Lord, for allowing us to come together and worship You. I just ask that You be with Cal as He brings the message, dear Lord. And I just thank You so very much for that promise that, dear Lord, after 3 days, You will rise again. Amen. And dear Lord, I just thank You so much for that. In Your name we pray.
Thank You, my brother. Y'all pray for Tad. He's got a big deal happening Thursday. His kidney issue, so y'all just pray that the Lord would take care of all those details. And by the way, He has a way of taking care of things. Amen? Amen. And so the Lord and His disciples are on their way to Jerusalem. And that's where we as a church are headed, spiritually speaking, as we move towards Easter. And His destination is Jerusalem. And He not only knows where He's going, He knows why He's going. And the atmosphere, as you read through these scripture verses, it's kind of tense. The disciples know that there's something foreboding out there ahead of them. They know something's going on. And Mark's gospel, and two times, tells us that Jesus revealed His impending death and had given them that bit of news a couple of times already. Over there in Mark 8:31, Jesus announced that He was heading to a cross. And you remember when He did that, you remember what Peter did? He pulled Him to the side and rebuked the Lord. That Peter, he's something else. And Jesus, remember what he said? He said, get behind me, Satan, because you're mindful of the things of men rather than the things of God. And then again over in Mark 9:31, Jesus announced his impending death, and the cross was ever before him, and told them and made that announcement again. And so, I mean, the disciples' hearts, some of the things that he had said amazed them, and yet they were afraid also. They were not prepared for the message of the cross just yet. They had visions of an earthly reign. They had visions of Israel being restored back to prominence and reigning and ruling with him. That's what they thought. That's what they were looking for. Of course, that's earthly vision, not heavenly vision. And so this talk about a cross really disturbed them, their vision and their hope for Israel. And as they're on their way to Jerusalem, Jesus, for the third time, makes the announcement of his death and his resurrection. And this time, he gives minute details. I mean, look at that. In verse 33 and 34, again, he tells them about his betrayal. How many of y'all have ever been betrayed by a close friend? That's an awful thing. And then he begins to tell them about his arrest. They arrested him on some trumped up charges. And he begins to tell his disciples how he would be turned over to the chief priests and scribes. And the trial that Jesus went through was a travesty of justice. And Jesus tells them how the Gentiles are going to be involved in the cruelty of the cross. And he tells them, I'm going to be spit upon, laughed at, mocked, ridiculed. I'm going to be scourged. And they're eventually going to kill me. No wonder they're afraid. And then in the next breath, he says, but on the third day, I'm going to rise again. And so they're amazed. And they're turning all this message about the cross over and over in their heart. And you know what that tells me? Jesus was in charge of every detail. He was in control of all of those things. He knew what was going to happen. He knew where it was going to happen. And he knew why it was going to happen. And he knew how it was all going to happen. He's not some martyr. He's not some victim of circumstances. He's in charge of this whole thing from A to Z. He's in control. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that Jesus laid down his life on purpose, of his own accord. And so he's in total control of all the details that he's telling his disciples about. Now, I want y'all to lean in real quick right now. Just lean in and listen to your pastor. Listen to this crazy preacher this morning. He can take care of the details of your life. He not only controls the details of his life, he can take care of everything that's going on in your life. Whoever you're sitting beside, look at him and say, wow. That's who he is. He cares about you. And he knows what's coming down the pike. And he can handle it. Aren't you glad we have a Savior who can take care of us? He's able to do that. Ted, I want to say again, brother, I don't know how God's going to do it, but he's going to take care of you and your bride and everybody. God just knows how to do that. Things don't always turn out the way we think they should or that we thought they would. But through it all, God has a plan and a purpose for everybody in this room. Man, that ought to blow you away. And so as we're heading to Jerusalem together this morning, there's two truths I want to just kind of jump on, and they'll bless you. And the first one of those is found in verses 35 through 41. As they're talking about the cross, and as Jesus is letting them in on what's about to happen, it reveals another spiritual flaw in the disciples. y'all, the message of the cross reveals just how sinful and shameful our hearts can be. Don't ever forget that. I was talking to somebody yesterday. No, it was Friday. I went out to lunch with a buddy of mine. And he said, you know, Pastor, he said, we're just one step away from stupid. And that is exactly right. Jeremiah 17:9 says, our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And so the message of the cross to the disciples just kind of revealed sin and shame and suffering. And they didn't want to hear that. And so here's the first truth I want you to really wrap your heart around, your head around. Be careful with ambition. Be careful with ambition. Say that with me. Be careful with ambition. Look at verse 35. Then James and John, you know who those boys are? That's the sons of thunder. That tells me they were both a little bit hot-headed. Anybody? Don't identify with that. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him saying, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. I remember my two girls, not Isaac, but my two girls when they were little, sometimes they'd come up to me and they would say, Daddy, would you do something for me? And I always knew they were about to ask me for something they knew they probably shouldn't ask me for. Get in, y'all? Are y'all with me this morning at all? That's what's going on here. They're about to ask Jesus for something they should never even ask for. Look at this. And he said to them, What do you want me to do for you? As if he didn't know. They said to him, Grant us that we may sit, one on your right hand and the other on your left, in your glory. Now, let me show you where that request is coming from. Turn left in your Bible a few pages to Matthew. Matthew chapter 19. And look at verse 28. Matthew 19, verse 28. Just turn left in your Bible, or I don't know how you do that in your iPhone, but smartphone. But Matthew 19, 28. So Jesus said to them, Assuredly I say to you, that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of His glory, he's talking about a day when the kingdom has literally come. And he's sitting on the throne of glory. You who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And so that's where this request is coming from. And then there's another little piece of information that's really cool over in chapter 20 of Matthew in verse 20. It says, Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her son, kneeling down and asking something from him. And he said to her, What do you wish? And she said to him, Grant that these two sons of mine may sit one on your right hand and the other on the left in your kingdom. And so Salome, the mother, was also in this meeting with Jesus. They had pulled him to the side of the road and they're asking him something that they, you know, how many of you have figured out sometimes when you get what you don't want what you get? Well, that's exactly what's about to happen to James and John. But their mom's even in on this. And how many of you mamas want your kids to have the top position? Come on now. How many of you mamas want to see your kids excel and climb the ladder and get to the top? I mean, after all, isn't that the goal? Well, my goal is that they might leave, you know, and be successful citizens, right? That's what we as parents are supposed to do. That's another sermon. But anyways, they're asking for something. They don't have a clue really what they're asking for. They want, James and John, want to sit one on the left and one on the right hand of Jesus when He's in power. When He comes to full fruition on the throne. And they want to be His, well, In the Calhampton Standard Version, one of them wants to be the Secretary of State and the other one wants to be the Secretary of Defense. They want the top two positions. And they really don't know what they're asking for. And how do I say this nicely? And notice. They're not talking about, nobody wants to talk about the cross. He's just told them where they're headed and what's going to happen. And nobody wants to talk about the cross, which involves sacrifice and suffering. Oh, but listen. When you want to start talking about sitting on thrones and reigning and ruling, the glory stuff, oh, they all want to talk about that. You know, our hearts have not changed, have they? Hello? And I guess... let me say this about ambition. Ambition in and of itself is not bad. I mean, that's the desire and the drive to accomplish and to go forward and to do things. But, you know, you need to be really careful with ambition because it's how if ambition handles you, it'll get you in a mess. That's what's going on here. Well, Lord, we want those prime seats. We want the best tickets in the house. I mean, we want everybody. We want to be the guys that give the orders. We want to be the top dogs. Ambition can get you in trouble if you're not careful. I'll say more about that as we move through this, but that's their request. Now look at the Lord's reply. This is awesome. Look at verse 38. But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with?" Now the phrase "drink the cup" literally means to experience something to the full. To experience something fully. Jesus talked about drinking this cup of death, didn't he? I mean, and so that's what that phrase means, to experience something to the full. And then this baptism he's talking about is to be immersed so deeply in an event that it's an overwhelming experience. Jesus was about to experience the baptism of the cross. Drinking out of the cup of death and experiencing the baptism of shame and suffering. And he looked at James and John. He said, "You don't know what you're asking for." And look at their response. Verse 39, let me read it again. They said to him, "We are able." Oh, Lord, we understand what we're asking for. We can handle this. Oh, really? And then look what Jesus says. He said, "You will indeed drink the cup that I drink. And with the baptism I'm baptized with, you will be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it's prepared." You know, I said a minute ago, when you get what you want, you always want what you get. Who was the first martyr of the disciples? James. Of the disciples. Of the 12. James. Remember in Acts? Herod? He took James's head off. The first martyr of the 12. And then John. Man. Experienced tremendous persecution. Bless God, he wound up as a political prisoner on the rocky island of Patmos, quarrying rock in his 90s. I mean, this is a man that endured persecution, great persecution. By the way, that's where he wrote the book of Revelation. And Jesus said, "You really don't know what you're asking for, but you're right, both of y'all are going to drink from the cup of death, and you're going to experience suffering and sacrifice. Can I just say, there is no glory apart from suffering. The pathway to glory, brothers and sisters, the pathway to glory always involves the pathway of suffering. That's a truth all throughout the New Testament. We don't like to hear about suffering. We don't want to go there. But as I look over here at old David Littleton, my brother, he has been through a trial. He has been through some sickness and suffering. But I want to tell you what, brother, you have gotten a walk with Jesus you can't get any other way. And you're going to be able to help somebody else. Y'all give God some praise for healing up old David Littleton. Wow. And so, Tad, the pathway to glory comes through what you're about to have to deal with. But I want to tell you, whatever begins in suffering for the child of God ends in glory. Isn't that a marvelous message? That's what he's trying to get across here to them. Sure, Lord, we can handle it. Okay. And then look at the 10. This is just like us, y'all. Look at verse 41. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. The green-eyed monster, right? Jealousy, envy. Why? Because they wanted those two spots. They wanted the prime seats. They wanted the top positions, right? How like we are. You better be very careful with ambition. And by the way, when we start serving Jesus the way we ought to serve Jesus, we're not going to care one iota about who gets the praise and who gets the recognition. Let me say that one more time. When we're serving Jesus the way we're supposed to serve Jesus, we're not going to care who gets all the press, the praise, and the recognition. Because you see, one day, we're all going to stand before Him. And He'll be the ones handing out the rewards. So I think I'll just wait on mine. Because His reward's better than any reward man can give to us. There's another message sermon there. So, be careful with ambition. Here's the second truth, and I'll hurry. Be useful with redemption. And I probably ought to say be useful in redemption. Maybe is a better verbiage there. Look at verse 42. Now remember, the 10 just heard what's going on here, and they're mad. There's conflict. There's controversy, right? Of course, the church never has any conflict, right? Church never has any controversy. Hello? That seems like that's all we do anymore. I'm not talking about Second Mile. I'm just talking about the church. Okay? Look what Jesus does. Verse 42, but Jesus called them to Himself. The way to settle conflict in the church between brothers and sisters, here it is just to call people together in the presence of Jesus. Just get folks in the presence, and He'll anoint that place. And He'll show us how pitiful. Why do we major on minors? Why do we get all bent out of shape about stuff that doesn't amount to a hill of beans? I'll tell you why. Because there's someone in this world that wants to divide and conquer. And his name is Satan. And then let's not give him too much press, because our own flesh is rotten to the core at times. Just get folks in the presence of Jesus. That'll get things settled, amen? Are y'all with me? That's the way to settle conflict and controversy in families, in churches, with individuals. Just get them in the presence of Jesus. How do you do that? That's another sermon, but that's what you need to do. And so what Jesus immediately does is He begins to compare and contrast the things that to be great, what it means to be great in the world, over and against what it means to be great in the kingdom, in God's eyes. Isn't that fantastic stuff there? He begins to make those comparisons, and listen to what he says. Verse 42, but Jesus called them to himself and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. Now, I talked about this a minute ago. We're all trying to get to, in this world, in our society, what they tell us to do and teach us to do is climb the ladder of success, right? I mean, that's the goal, to get to the top. Because if you're more important than anybody else, everybody else is serving you. This life's all about you. You can have it your way, right? I mean, isn't that what they tell us? And you get to the top, and then you get to make all the decisions. You call all the shots. You give all the orders, and you've got all these people under you, and they're serving you, and you've got the best seats in the house. You've got the best this, the best that, and you've got all the possessions and the prestige and the power. And when you get to the top, that's the goal. You've arrived, and you've got all these folks under your authority. Isn't that the goal? Come on, y'all. Isn't that the goal? That is. That's kind of what... I remember after Tom, y'all know who Tom Brady is? Somebody asked me yesterday, we were talking about the Super Bowl, and he said, who's playing? After Tom Brady won the third Super Bowl, here's what he said. Is this all there is? You see, folks, when you get to the top, you might find out when you get what you want, you don't want what you get. Here's what Jesus said about his kingdom. Are y'all ready for this now? Listen to this. Yet it shall not, verse 43, yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom for many. Jesus said, you want to be great in my kingdom? You want to be great in the eyes of God? Then you've got to be willing to be the servant of anyone and everyone. You've got to be willing to humble yourself and be the servant of all. And by the way, the root word, you deacons, the root word for servant is the word we use for deacon. All of us that want to be great in God's kingdom have got to be willing to serve anyone and everyone. And by the way, he set that example for us, didn't he? I mean, you think about Jesus every day of his ministry, what did he do? He was serving other people. He was helping folks. I mean, people were, I mean, they were pulling on him and yanking on him. I mean, that's all he did was serve other people. As a matter of fact, right after this conversation, they're heading into Jericho and there's a blind man. Master, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and healed blind Bartimaeus. Everywhere he went, he was serving others. As a matter of fact, he said, I left heaven and came to this earth not to be served, but to serve. And to give my life as a ransom for many. Whew. You see, I was in the slave market of sin. And Jesus showed up 2,000 years ago and paid the ransom price, the redemption price for my soul. And bought me back. So that I could be set free. I was a slave to sin, and so were you. And Jesus set us free by His precious, precious blood. He paid the ransom. He paid the price. And so you see, if you want to be first, you got to be willing to be last. I got to thinking about this servant stuff, and I got to thinking about our people. And I tell you what, I am so proud. I could go around the room probably and tell stories about just about everybody in here. But you're never more like Jesus than when you're serving. Most of y'all probably don't even know Paul Landrum. How many of y'all know Paul? That's what I thought. About a fourth of y'all. He's sitting right back there. I want you to just watch that brother on Sunday mornings, Sunday nights. He'll make 45 trips from the kitchen downstairs and back, making sure we got coffee, donuts. How many of you need donuts? Don't answer that. He'll move chairs and tables. I mean, he's always looking for somebody to serve. He gives, you know where this came from this morning? From Paul's hand. He gives me, that's being a servant. Not expecting any praise or recognition, and he'll get on to me after this is over. I think about Sarah Barnett. I was down here Friday praying with a buddy of mine. And we get up, and I heard two little rats back here in the children's building. Now, I walk in, and there's Sarah. And y'all, she's been working all night. She's a nurse. She works all night. And you know what she's doing back here? She's cleaning up the children's room. Cleaning the toys. Straightening things up. In another month or so, you'll see Laura Vaden out here digging in the dirt for God's glory. Who are you serving? Who are you serving? And I could mention a bunch more. Remember, if you're serving Jesus the way you're supposed to serve Jesus, it doesn't matter who gets the press. Why didn't he say something about me? Well, are y'all with me? See what I'm talking about? Wednesday night, I'm getting in my 2005 Dodge Durango. 230,000 miles. I love that vehicle. I mean, I can get three car seats in there and all the adults in my family in there, and we can go somewhere. I mean, it's got a lot of memories with that, and I just can't hardly get rid of it. Well, I get in, you know, and it needs new parts from time to time. So I get in and crank it. Man, it cranks good, but there's not getting any gas. Immediately, old Scott Denny and Will Barnett come up. Raise the hood, Brother Cal. I raised the hood. And Will immediately said, "Doesn't sound like it's getting any gas, Brother Cal." And then right on the heels of that, Scott said, "I know what's wrong. It's a Dodge." Well, we fooled around out there for 10 minutes, you know, and it's misting and raining. And Will said, "Brother Cal, give me the keys to this vehicle." I said, "What are you going to do?" He said, "I got a mechanic that keeps all of our stuff running out on the farm. And I'm going to get him to come down here tomorrow morning and look at it." And I said, "Great." So they came down here on Thursday morning, somehow got that thing going. Will told me this morning he kicked it, you know, and it started. And they got out to Woodlawn with it. And Will stopped and bought a fuel pump for that thing. And then they took it out and drained 22 gallons of gas out of that thing. And he put that fuel pump on for me. And after I said bye to Sarah, I come out here and they delivered my Durango, and it's sitting right out here Friday morning. And we about had a brawl back here. I'm trying to pay him. You know? This is Will. If you want to be first in the kingdom of God, you got to be willing to serve. And then you know what God will do? He'll promote you. Think about Moses. Think about Joshua. Think about Joseph. Think about David. Man, think about Timothy. Think about the disciples. Think about Jesus. Every one of them learned how to serve other people. And they put others better than themselves. And you see, when you're willing to be last and be the servant of all, eventually God will raise your head and He'll promote you. Be useful in your redemption. Be careful with your ambition. That's the message this morning as we head towards Jerusalem. What's God saying to you? Whenever the word is read, or when you've heard it, it requires a response on your behalf. Are you going to say yes to Jesus today? Are you going to let whatever it is that's keeping you from becoming all God wants you to be, are you going to let that mess go and serve God or not? Man, I love y'all. I love y'all. I'd go to war with most of you. I would. I love you. And I just want you to be what God desires for you to be. And in order to do that, it comes through humility and suffering and sacrifice and all these things. And I sit here and I look at y'all. Man, I could tell story after story after story after story of servants in this church who figured it out. But all of us need to be willing to do what Jesus is calling us to do. Let's pray. Father, as we conclude this service, how can we say thanks? How can we even begin? You left heaven and came to this old sin-cursed planet and paid the price for our redemption. You came to serve. That was your ambition, to be obedient to the Father. And now you're exalted, high and lifted up. Oh God, would you do a work amongst us this morning? Send revival to our hearts. Get us to the point of obedience. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, Paul said. Oh, help us, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.